Hey, bitches. Welcome back to another episode of Bitches Better. I'm Raven, and it's a solo episode kind of day. This episode is going to be a little shorty because, as I mentioned in the last episode with Zell, there's not much on TV right now that's worth talking about. I mean, the shows that I'm watching are fine, but I don't necessarily want to talk about them, you know? At least not alone. And scheduling with guests can get tricky. Like last week, I had a guest lined up and the day of, the guest canceled because life was lifing and I was like, oh God, what now? Because shit like that really throws me off. Change, I hate it. And last minute change, I can barely function, okay? For a bitch like me, the slightest inconvenience will deter me. So like, just cancel the whole thing. But I really wanted to talk about Love is Blind and Summer House, and I needed to do it while it was still relevant. So thank God Zell was able to record and I got that episode out on Monday. So now some things have happened and I want to get my thoughts out, but it's not going to be a whole lot. So let's consider this a little mini episode, like a little cutie, if you will. Watch this episode be like an hour. We'll see. Before Bad Bitch Raggedy Bitch, I want to remind everyone to follow me on the socials at Bitches Better Podcast on Instagram and at Bitches Better _ on Twitter. Join in the fun. Tell a friend. Every little bit helps and I appreciate all of it and all of you. All right. Bad Bitch. My bad bitch is whoever decided to fire Anna Marie from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She said today that she is not coming back, and she wrote this whole long post about it, which I did not read because why would I do that? So anyway, yeah, whoever made that call is a bad bitch because Anna Marie was consistently a raggedy bitch, and I don't think many people were eager to see her back anyway. So bye-bye. Now, my raggedy bitch, oh boy. Dan Schneider. Now I was a Nickelodeon girly through and through. So this man produced a lot of my favorite shows growing up, like All That, Kenan and Kel, The Amanda Show. He also produced Drake and Josh, Zoe 101, iCarly, Victorious, the list goes on. So I don't know if y'all have watched this new docuseries called Quiet on the Set, Dark Side of Kids TV or not, but wow. If you haven't, it's basically a docuseries about Nickelodeon and all the heinous stuff that was going on behind the scenes of these shows we all grew up watching and loving. And y'all, it's really dark, like massive trigger warning. They go into abuse of the child actors that they went through at the hands of these people, these adults that worked on the show. That should have been looking out for them. And instead they were doing horrible, wildly inappropriate things to them. And the people that worked on the show were being abused as well, especially women at the hands of Dan Schneider. And they employed literal pedophiles and they defended them. And it's really gross. But yeah, my raggedy bitches go to Dan Schneider, Jason Handy, Brian Peck, and all the people that defended them. If you want to watch that, it's on HBO Max, but it's also on Discovery Plus. Y'all, I'm so sick of these streaming services. I really am. And it's like, I don't know. I can't. It's like each one, whatever show you want to watch is on at least two of the streaming services, right? But it's just like, okay, I'm going to cancel one of them or I'm going to cancel several of them, but it's just too much work to try and figure out which one it is. But it's like, at this point, I might as well get cable back, right? I'm going off on a tangent. Okay, let me get back on track. The news. Oh my God. So yesterday, news broke that Karen Huger was in a car accident and that she like ran into a median and a couple of street signs and her car was totaled, the airbags deployed and everything. And we were all like, oh my God, I hope she's okay. Like, this is terrible. Well, we've got more information now and it's not good. I mean, she's fine, which is good, but it turns out she was driving under the influence. While she wasn't arrested, she's been charged with a DUI and a DWI. She's also facing charges of negligently driving a vehicle in a careless and imprudent manner, endangering property, life, and person, as well as recklessly driving a vehicle in a wanton and willful disregard for the safety of persons and property. Other charges include failure to control vehicle speed on the highway to avoid a collision, driving a vehicle in excess of reasonable and prudent speed on the highway, driving a vehicle on the highway with suspended registration, and failure to notify administration of change of address within 30 days. Oh my God, that's a lot. So Karen said, this is like her statement on the whole thing. She says, last night I met a girlfriend for dinner. We talked and brought up some very emotional, sensitive topics. I was crying on my way home and saw a car heading right for me. I swerved to avoid the head-on collision, hit the divider, and then a tree. I'm hurt, bruised up a bit, but so grateful I'm alive. I did receive citations, one of which was unrelated to the incident, which is understandable, but what was most surprising is that the car almost hit me and just drove away. So it sounds like she's blaming a lot of this on the other car that like drove away, which, okay, but you were driving under the influence and that you cannot do. And of course, we empathize with her being sad about her mother being gone and grieving. Like, that is awful. And I seriously cannot imagine the pain she feels every day from that. But you can't drink and drive. You cannot do that. You have to stop drinking and driving. It is not worth it. It's so dangerous. Like, this could have been so much worse. So I'm happy she's okay and like no one else got hurt, but this is bad. And now Robin, Giselle, and Charisse are going to have a field day with this. Can you imagine? I'm just not prepared for that. Oh boy. What else? Y'all, Simon Guabadia is on my last nerve, the very last one. Now, I know when the news broke about Portia and Simon getting a divorce, I was like, that's fine, but I want him to like get into the tea and tell us what's really going on, because he did that with Fallon. Like, we know he can get messy on social media, so like, bring it on. Well, I got my wish. Kind of. Actually, not really. This grown man is on Instagram posting photos of some young big titty woman. Oh my God. Some young big titty woman that we're to believe is his new girlfriend, I guess. And somebody commented on the post and was like, this woman is way more beautiful than Portia. You really know how to hit him where it hurts. If I was Portia, I'd be so bothered. And Simon liked the comment and pinned it. First of all, grow up. Second of all, I'm not into comparing women and like pitting them against each other or whatever, but no, she's not more beautiful than Portia. I'm so sorry. Her titties might be bigger, but that's it. She is cute though, like no shade, but yeah. So someone else commented on another post of his in an attempt to shit on Portia, being like, oh, she went from Guabadia to Williams. Who goes from an ethnic ancestral name to an unseasoned name? And Simon thought that was hilarious and put a bunch of laughing emojis. Sir, please stop acting like your name means something to somebody, okay? Like, Portia's family and name is an important part of history. Your name might be seasoned, but it isn't attached to anything but a bunch of fraud and felonies. So maybe you want to sit this one out. I don't know. Also, to the person who made the comment, you're an idiot. What a stupid thing to say. You're going to insult her because of her last name? Like, what a fucking weirdo. Who does that? And they would be the same one running around saying some shit like, give that man his last name back. Like, if she didn't change it back to Williams. Like, what a freak. So then he goes on and he makes a post saying, if you're behind Portia filing for a divorce, please step up and own her mental state of mind. Hashtag dumbass. I'm not sure what that's supposed to mean, but okay, Simon. Listen, I'm not interested in these reindeer games he is playing. I want some actual information, not this nonsensical juvenile shit talking he's doing. Why are y'all getting a divorce? If you're not going to tell us, then just put the phone down, okay? Go pay those people the money you owe them. Just literally do anything else because I've grown tired of this shit. I'm sick of it. Now, speaking of Simon, he was just hanging out with his new girlfriend, Nini. Yes, that Nini. And her boyfriend. Now, it seems like Nini and Simon are in cahoots doing this to get under Portia's skin because, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And it's clear why Simon is Portia's enemy, right? But why is Nini? Well, Nini made this like 7-minute long video that I absolutely did not want to watch because that's so long. Like, it's so long, says the bitch that listened to like 8 hours worth of Risa Tisa's Who the Fuck Did I Marry TikToks. I sound ridiculous. Anyway, I watched it so that I could talk about it, even though I didn't want to, because it's too long, okay? And it's not interesting enough to hold my attention. Like, get to the point. I hate when I'm hearing a bunch of uninteresting details in a story. You know, wrap it up. Get to the point. Anyway, Nini basically said that she got a call saying that the Netflix show The Upshaws wanted her to be on it and that Portia was going to be on it too. And, you know, Nini was excited because she loves Portia and she hasn't seen her in a long time and whatever. So she gets to the set. Nini gets to the set and Portia just didn't show up on the first day of the filming that she was supposed to be there. And then Nini's management company calls her and was like, hey, do you have any issues with any housewives? Because we're going to be recasting Portia's part. So we just want to make sure like you're cool with everyone. And Nini was like, huh? No, I don't have any problems with anybody. And also, what the fuck? So Cynthia ended up getting the part. So later, Nini was told that Portia told the production company she didn't want to work with Nini because of like past issues that they've had. So Nini is so disappointed and confused. Because, you know, they've gone on double dates and she's like, you know, this is just bullshit because we haven't had any big issues for Portia to be pulling some shit like this. And she was like, Portia just doesn't want to share the spotlight, okay? She wanted to stop me from getting to the bag. But she didn't stop Nini from getting to the bag, though. Portia gave up her bag, but whatever. Now, I'm going to read some texts between Portia and Nini where... where Portia accused Nini of taking Simon's side in the divorce. So Nini sends this text to, she reaches out to Portia first and she says, hey Portia, I hope you're doing well. I'm shocked to hear that you have issues and you didn't want to work with me. Wow, just wow. We have double dated a few times, Vegas, Miami, your home, etc. It's just sad to hear. We hung out in Dubai, you were texting me about housewives. This is sad. We are Black women that need to work to not stop each other from working. So Portia says, yeah, all of that and through all of this. What? And this is your first text. How, who, and how the fuck do you not even check on Lil Sis? Enough said, you chose a side and I'm good with that. People are weird as fuck. I've shown loyalty time and time. I've also shown concern and genuine love during all of your hardships, but I never get it back. It's cool though. When people move differently, so do I. Now Nini, she's in a place of all caps now. And she says, you were wrong in every way. You went extremely too far, out of all caps. Nothing you were saying is valid enough to go to a production company and say, you don't want to work with Nini because we have issues in the past. I gave you your space. I didn't want to invade your privacy. I didn't want to seem nosy. I wanted to wait until I see you in person. I was excited about working with you. As far as Neone and Simon are concerned, they have their own relationship and I have nothing to do with that. I only speak to, and then it cuts off. Like, I want to see all the messages. Like, don't do this shit, okay? If you're going to post the messages, you got to post the entire conversation. Anyway, I was kind of with Portia, right? I was like, okay, your first text to me, and I don't know how long is about this, like, you tried to stop me from working thing and not like, hey, I see what you're going through with Simon. Like, are you good? Because you don't really give a shit about me. You just care about the money stuff. But then I go over to Nini's side because in her video, she was like, no, I didn't reach out to you because you and Simon were just laughing and loved up in Dubai. So I thought maybe y'all were just having a fight or something and I didn't want to be nosy, which is fair because when we all got the news that they were getting a divorce, we were all like, what? Y'all were just all over each other like on Valentine's Day and you were on a trip like having a good time and in love. We were confused. So it's just a big old mess. And of course, Nini brought up the fact that, you know, she got Bravo to keep Portia on after she dragged Kenya at that one reunion. And she always brings this up like, okay, we get it. Should she give you her firstborn? Like, we, you know what I don't like? When someone is always throwing something in someone's face, like what they've done for them, like you just owe them indefinitely. And that's not why you do things for people. You do things like that because you think it's the right thing to do, not because you expect something in return down the line. You know, is it fucked up if they do something wrong or something to hurt you later on? Yes, but unfortunately, that's life and it's shitty. But side note, Nini also said, it's not funny. Nini also said that Portia isn't a star. She's just a Bravo celebrity. And I, didn't Nini just say this about like the cast of Real Housewives of Atlanta not too long ago? Or like maybe some of the girls on the cast? I don't know. She said that the cast was starless, right? Anyway, I beg to differ. Portia is a star. And Nini is too. Like they both are. But Nini's issue is that she wants to be the only one, you know, she wants to be the top dog. And for a long time she was, but that time is gone and she needs to accept it. But the thing is, she'll always be one of the greats. Like no one can ever take that from her. It doesn't matter what she does, but the stuff like this just like makes her look salty. And I hate that for her. Okay. That's enough about that. Moving on from Atlanta things, oh my God, Christine Quinn from Selling Sunset, her husband was arrested for domestic violence. So this guy threw a bag with a glass bottle in it at Christine, but it missed her and it hit their three-year-old son. So he's being abusive in front of their child and literally abuses the child. So he was arrested for that, posted bond, went back to the house and got arrested again because he was told, you can't go over there. You got to stay away from that house. So why don't we not let him out on bond anymore? Like, that's a start. Oh my God. Like, let me tell you something. I would have probably been arrested after something like that too, because are you out of your fucking mind? I wish nothing but the worst for him. And I hope he gets his ass beat every single day in jail. And I hope that that baby is okay. And I hope that Christine is too, because this is just terrible. Oh, now I was scrolling through Instagram the other day, minding my business. And I come across this post from TMZ and it's just a photo of Caitlyn Jenner and Lamar Odom. And y'all, I'm not kidding you. I just knew that it was going to say that they were dating because let's be honest, like stranger things have happened. And while that wasn't the headline, what the post was actually about is stranger than if they would have been dating. These two are starting a podcast, a sports podcast called Keeping Up With Sports. Who asked for this? I don't know. Who's going to listen to these two chuckleheads? Again, I don't know. And although these two were excellent athletes, I cannot take this seriously. And like the name, really? Caitlyn talks a whole lot of shit about the Kardashians, but look at what she decided to name her new podcast. It's just interesting. Very interesting. Excuse me. Now, some good news. Southern Hospitality got renewed for a third season, which is wonderful. I know people like to shit on the show, but I enjoyed it. And like, I'm happy that it's coming back. If you haven't watched it, I think you should give it a try. I think you might be pleasantly surprised. Now, apparently, there's going to be some changes to the cast, so that should be interesting to see. Oh, and oh my God, Southern Charm, apparently Olivia and Rod aren't coming back. Now, I'm not sure why an announcement needed to be made about Rod, because, I mean, was he really on the show like that, you know? But the Olivia news was kind of surprising, because last season was like a lot about her. But they've got some new people coming in, and one of the people is Sally from Southern Hospitality. She's the girl that was playing in Joe Bradley's face. Remember, she was like hooking up with Joe and like going on a date with him or whatever. And the same day, she had like made out with Gaston, who's Taylor's current boyfriend. And that was hilarious, by the way. Like, Joe Bradley deserves all the smoke. I want everyone to play in his face all the time. He deserves it. So anyway, I guess Sally said, fuck that show. I'm moving up to the big leagues. And you know what? I love that for her. And I love that for us, because I'm really hoping that she like gets under Taylor's skin somehow. And you know what? I skipped a few seasons of Southern Charm, and then I jumped back in with this last one. And I'm still very pleased with that decision. So yeah, I'll be tuned in as long as nothing else too crazy or racist happens, right? Moving on. We got a look at the Potomac reunion looks this week, and they're really good. They're wearing all black, and you know, you can never go wrong with all black. Everyone looks great. Yes, even Giselle, Ashley, and Robin. It's a Christmas miracle. Unfortunately, the looks don't match the season that they gave us, because that was trash. Maybe they got together and they were like, listen, there's no way this reunion is going to be interesting based on the season that we had. So we really need to knock these looks out of the park. And they did. Again, a lot of this probably has to do with the fact that everyone is in all black, but whatever works, right? A side note. I worry that Candace thinks that we're going to forget that she sings, because not only is she singing in her tagline, but the photo of her at the reunion, she's holding a microphone for some reason. No one else has a prop. And it's just a photo of them standing there looking beautiful, right? But here goes Candace posing with the microphone. Like, where did you get that? Did she bring it from home? I can't. Excuse me. Guys, I feel like I'm losing my voice, and that would be really terrible. Oh my goodness. So if it sounds raspy, I'm sorry. I don't know what to do. Okay. While we're on the subject of Candace, I saw a clip of an interview that she did, and she said something really dumb. She was talking about having babies, and she said she's terrified of having light-skinned babies and that she wants her babies to be brown like her. If you want brown babies, you probably shouldn't have married a white man, right? Like, I don't care if his dick is brown. He is white. So yes, those babies will be light-skinned. And also, like, what a weird thing to say. Not like, I want my babies to be healthy and, like, happy. You're terrified of having light-skinned kids? Why? That's so weird. And, like, no, this isn't colorism, but it is just plain stupid and ignorant. Like, she needed to write that one in her diary. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't need to say everything that comes to mind. It will be okay if you don't do that. Oh, God. Now, Larsa and Marcus have broken up again. Will it stick this time? Only time will tell. Larsa said that they're moving in different directions and that she's always been ambitious and driven, and she needs to be with someone who has those same qualities. Ambitious and driven to find a rich man, maybe. Also, like, oh my God, are you telling me that Michael Jordan's son, The guy who's literally never had to lift a finger or do any sort of work, and likely never will, he isn't ambitious or driven? Unbelievable. I can't. Oh, lots of people are breaking up, though. We've got some Love Island breakups, one being Molly and Zach, no shock there. Another, Georgia and Toby, no shock there, although Georgia says she's shocked. And of course she is, right? She's always shocked and she's always confused. And it's like, girl, everyone but you knew that this wasn't going to last. Even Toby. Like, that's why no one in the villa fucked with them. And they said their relationship was fake. Because it was. Now, speaking of fake relationships, we've finally uncovered why Allie is dating James and why she wants to be on TV so bad. She wants to be another Taylor Swift. Okay, Allie is a singer, and that is no shade. I actually enjoy Allie, but I always wondered what she was doing with James because she seems to have good sense. But now it's all coming together. So she's got her first single coming out, and it's called Girls Girl. And she's including Sheena in the video. And unless this song is about a girl who is not a girl's girl, I'm not really understanding why she's featuring Sheena. Because Sheena is far from being a girl's girl. And she shows us that season after season. So, yeah. Good luck with your music career, Allie. Now, while we're on the subject of Vanderpump Rules, I woke up at like 4 a.m. a few days ago. And I deserted? Oh my God. I decided to turn on Vanderpump Rules. A walk with me here. I figured, I've already seen all the clips, so how much more angry could I get, right? Best case scenario, it just lulls me back to sleep. I was 5 episodes behind, so I put them on, and it was fine. And just as I suspected, I'd already seen the clips of everything that would have pissed me off and went through those emotions already, so I was fine. And I mean, I've pretty much commented on all of those things already, so I won't go back into them. But I do have some questions. Why did Sandoval give Sheena thousands of dollars during the pandemic? Where was her money? Where was Brock? Like, were both of them were just broke? And did she pay Sandoval back? Because I want to know exactly how much he gave her, actually. Because she must not have paid him back yet. And that's why she's crying and carrying on the way that she is about him to this day. It's guilt because she still owes him money. Like, you can't owe people money and have an attitude with them. Like, I'm pretty sure that's a rule. So I think I cracked that case open. It's stupid. If I hear Sheena talk about John Mayer one more time, I'm gonna lose my mind. Okay. I mean it. I saw some people who were shocked by the orgy with John Mayer news, and I gotta say, y'all are very lucky. I don't know how you've missed Sheena talking about sleeping with and dating him for all of these years, but good for you, okay? Because that girl will bring it up any chance she gets, and I really want her to stop. It's just not the flex that she thinks it is. Like, he's gross, and he's not a nice guy. Ew. Also, I have a hard time with women who act like sleeping with a man is like some great accomplishment. You know, you got a man to have sex with you. Like, I don't know. Congratulations. It's not a difficult thing to do. And they're not a prize. I don't care how famous they are. Remember that. Now, Lala said something a little troubling to me. She often does that. But this thing was about the baby. So she says that this new baby that she wants to have would be absolute and hers and she wouldn't have to share. And while I think I understand what she's saying, you know, because she's had to go through like this custody shit with Randall, it just still sounds a little off, you know? Like, I wonder how Ocean would feel if she heard it, because it could come across as like, oh, this child, this is the one, the golden child, the perfect one that like my mom actually wanted because she had to share me. So I'm not as good as the other one. I don't know. I could be overthinking it. Now, Lala and Katie, like, kind of getting into it about, like, why Ariana needs to stop being mad and just, like, let go with this whole thing while Ariana's sitting there, by the way. I think Lala is at her worst when she's on her high horse and acting holier than thou. Like, Katie was right about her. Lala situations always have to be bigger, harder, worse, blah, blah, blah. That is true. She thinks because she perceives her situation as worse than everyone else's that she knows best. And that's just not the case. You don't get to tell Ariana she needs to hurry up and let go and stop being mad because that's what you did. And look at you now. Like, no, you didn't, first of all. You are still mad and you have not healed yet. You just told us that you want to have a kid be a sperm donor and not wait until you meet someone else, which is totally fine, by the way. Because you don't want to have to share the baby with anyone. Does that sound like a healed woman to you? How about you focus on yourself and let Ariana do the same? Okay? Sound good? Incredible. Oh, God. Now I've had a breakthrough, and this is not easy for me to say. So I think that I am a lot like Katie in some ways, and that is why I have had such an issue with her over the years and have been so triggered by her. And I don't know if y'all remember, but I had this conversation with Hannah Brown on a previous episode about how it said, you know, if you're really triggered by someone, it could be because you're seeing a lot of yourself in them and maybe the thing that, like, you don't really like about yourself. And I think that's the case with Katie. Like, the similarities are there. Good and bad ones, okay? And it feels good to get that off my chest, okay? And I'm not going to go into that any further. Now, the last thing that's super obvious, but Tom is still a piece of shit. Sandoval. Schwartz too, but I'm talking about Sandoval. He's still a piece of shit that cannot take accountability, refuses to take accountability for anything and resorts to, well, you do this too, and you are, we all make mistakes, blah, blah, blah. At one point, this fool said, I'm done groveling. But, like, when did you start? Because I don't know, maybe I missed it. Maybe I'm tripping. But that's all I had to say about them. I haven't decided if I'll be keeping up with them or watching a few at a time like I did with these episodes, even though Andy just did that thing where he's like, the last 7 episodes are going to be amazing. You're not going to believe your eyes. Like, Andy, cut it out. You always do this shit. And it's always mid at best. Okay, let us be the judge. So after I had that morning of catching up on Vanderpump Rules, I see a tweet from the incredible Cara Berry of the Everyone's Business But Mine podcast about the Valley. Shout out to Cara, by the way. I need to get her back on here. Anyway, the tweet says, now that the Valley is out, I can say I think Jax is in love with Kristen. Okay, bye. And it had a video of Steve Harvey, like, skipping away, which was hilarious. So I read that and I was like, pardon? Then I had to tell Cara to go to hell for making me interested in the Valley. Because up until that point, nothing about it interested me. Nothing. But I'm like, wait, Jax is in love with Kristen? I need to see this. So yes, my flip-flopping ass watched it. And I gotta say, I was not moved. To be fair, it was the first episode, and that's not necessarily always the best indicator. But I was like, what could possibly happen here? You know, will I keep watching? I don't think so. I don't know. I'd like to keep an eye out on the Jackson Kristen thing because I'm not sure about Kara's theory from this episode. I was like, it could just be Jax being a nosy, messy bitch as always, but who knows? So I don't know. TBD. We'll just wait and see. Now, It's with a heavy heart that I announce I'm not covering Summer House anymore. It's actually not with a heavy heart. It's a weary heart. I don't think that's right either. No, I'm just annoyed, okay? Y'all know like how I get when something stops being fun for me, and that's what's happened here. I'm not sure if people were rabid about Summer House like on the last season and I just wasn't around for it, but when I covered it before, people behaved normally. Since people want to be absolutely unhinged about it, like, I'm over it. The level of crazy is not something I'm interested in being a part of. I'm like, listen, we don't have to agree on everything. People rarely ever do, right? And that's fine. And that's interesting a lot of the time, right? But for some reason, people lose their fucking minds over this shit. And I just do not care that much, okay? But my opinion remains the same. As I've stated many times before, Lindsay is wrong. Yes, absolutely. There is no way around that, which I've said so many times. But no, I'm not going to call her a demon. Like, sorry, that's not happening. And I don't really see how that could be considered as defending her, but that's fine if that's how you receive it. Also, Carl does need to get a job. And he needs to stop coming up with these harebrained schemes that do nothing but waste time and lose money. I highly doubt anybody would be happy with their partner doing that. Also, we are missing some context. And as mentioned before, whether people want to admit it or not, which they don't, because they cannot, they just hate Lindsay so much. There's always two sides to a story until Lindsay's involved. And that's what's happening here. Any other time, people want to play devil's advocate till they're blue in the face, but not with this. And you know what? That is actually so fine. It's fine. Not my circus, not my monkeys, not my fate. Everyone be blessed, okay? I will be back next week to talk about Summer House Martha's Vineyard, which I'm very excited about. People are not crazy over there yet, so I'm sure that we'll have a great time. Sound like a plan? Excellent. I love y'all. Bye.